Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about our top five self-care practices that you should consider doing today, because self-care is so damn important. And I think it's something that is so overlooked. Do you agree, Laura?
Oh my gosh. You know what I think it is? I think it's because when people talk about self-care, you know, it means about obviously taking care of yourself. And for women especially, we find that we equate that with selfishness.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. We always feel like making ourselves a priority is a bad thing to do. But in all reality, it's actually the most important thing you can do, because if you don't make yourself a priority and you're run down and you're running ragged and you're tired and all these things and you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of other people? It's like, think about like when you're on an airplane. And what is the first thing they say in that safety message about, like, if, you know, the oxygen masks, put one on yourself first? Why do they say that? Because if you have it on you, then you can help the people around you. But if you don't have it on you and you start losing oxygen, you can't help anybody. You're useless to everybody around you, right? So it's like, you have to think of it the same way in terms of self-care practices, because it's like, if you're burnt out and you're stressed out and you're angry and you're getting anxious and all these things because of you know, spending so much time at work and like having to take care of, you know, family events, and you've got friends to, you know, you want to like make sure that you make it to every event for your friends, and you've got after school activities with your kids, and you've got to help them with homework, and you've got so many things on the go that honestly, it's just like, you can't do it all. And you also can't help everybody else. You'll eventually become to the point where you'll just become either resentful, which has happened to me. Like, I've become to the point like where I'd feel resentful towards my partner, and it's not cool. Like, and it's just because I haven't taken a moment to take care of myself.
Oh, completely. Like, and I think that the more you, I shouldn't say the older you get, but the more you become, the more self-aware you become of what you need. You know, like it's funny because even over the holidays, so like Graham and I were away and I did a teaching trip in Mexico, and you know, we were just the two of us and enjoying a week of like sun and relaxation and whatever. And then we came back to the family stuff, and we were with his family. Mm-hmm. And I love his family. And obviously if they're listening, I love you guys.
love you.
But for, you know, after being around people again, because I live, you know, just either with him or by myself. So it's like, I don't have a lot going on in my household. I work from home. Being around people for 5 days straight.
Oh my gosh. Overwhelming.
I needed to refill my cup. I was getting very agitated, but I'm so aware. I know myself where I need to bow out and say, you know what? I need some space. I need some alone time.
Yeah.
So, cause I'm an introverted extrovert. Like, I love people. I love being around people, but I love my alone time too.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm the exact same. I'm like, I enjoy being around people, but I think I'm even more of an introvert than you, though, in the sense that I'm very good on my own. Like, I'm very cool with like being, just having a lot of like downtime, but I don't have it. Maybe that's why I like it so much, because I don't have it often. But so I guess, I mean, when you think about it, like anyone listening right now, take a second and just think about, when was the last time that you actually took, say, an hour, 2 hours to yourself, where you weren't doing anything, like you weren't doing work for someone else, or you weren't like helping someone plan a party, or you weren't like, you know, I don't know, folding laundry or doing anything. You literally were just doing you, like something that you were just like, I'm super passionate about this. I really like knitting, and I'm just going to sit here for like 2 hours and just knit this thing for myself. Or I'm going to go for a walk and just not talk to anyone on the phone, not try to, you know, engage with anything, just totally just chill by yourself. If your answer is, I have no idea when the last time I did that, this is like a priority that you need to listen to this, and you need to figure out how you can fit these different self-care practices into your daily routine. And if your answer is today I did that, yeah, like every day I'm good at that, then honestly, like super kudos. But you also should listen, because of course there's other simple ways that you can start adding it in. Because sometimes too, I think what happens is when people think self-care, they think it has to be this big thing. Like it has to be this big grandiose, I need an hour, I need 2 hours. It doesn't have to be. It could literally be 10 minutes. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 5 minutes if that's all you have. But you just have to take time. I recommend at least an hour a day. if you can find it. But if you can't find it, even just a few minutes every once in a while throughout the day will help you recharge and feel so much better.
Oh, totally.
So before we dive into like the five, I guess, you know, one of the things I just want to say is like why it's so important, because it's like, okay, cool. Like we should be doing this, but why should we be doing this? Number one is it reduces stress levels. How many people like listening right now or just in this world right now are so stressed out, right? Again, because what we were talking about earlier, it's like we have work priorities, we have after school priorities, we have kids, we have families, we have friend obligations, family obligations, all this stuff. And we're trying to juggle it all. And especially women, it's actually proven by the American Psychological Society. Sorry. They basically said women are actually more stressed out than men, like their counterparts. So we're actually more stressed out by about 15%, considering based on a survey that women are actually more stressed out than men. And I think that's because oftentimes, if I had to say why, I think it's because women put a lot of emotion into a lot of things too. And we try to take on so much. We don't ask for help often. Oftentimes we just want to be superwomen. We're the mom. So, you know, if you have kids, like oftentimes the kids rely on you a little bit more. They look to you, Frances, if you're, you know, oftentimes women are the one that are the decision makers in the household. They're the ones that oftentimes do a lot of the cooking. Not always. Don't get me wrong. Anyone listening, it's not, I'm not saying this is like how it is, but I'm saying oftentimes that's why. And I believe that's probably why we are more stressed out than our counterparts. And so reducing stress levels is why, number one reason, and like, it basically, you know, just by taking a few minutes and allowing yourself every day, it's been proven that it can actually allow for you to be more productive, produce higher quality of work as well, because the stress is a negative effect on both your mind and body, which will hinder the quality and the quantity of work that you're putting out. So if you're really stressed at work, you need to take a step back and you need to just go for a walk for 5 minutes or something, because it will actually help you be more productive in the big picture. Have you ever felt that way, Laura, like where you're doing something and work-wise and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, this is stressing me out. And if you sit there, all it's going to do is just keep stressing you out more and more and more. But if you just are like, I'm not dealing with this right now and I'll deal with it later, oftentimes you'll come back and you'll be able to solve it and figure it out in a more productive manner, in a faster manner, right? Like I find it all the time. And I always try to I try to be intuitive to making my work match my mood, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. It happened to me this week. Like, literally, I was like, I woke up and I was going to go to the gym. I like to go to the gym in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I opened email and then I got sucked into this, and I'm a problem solver. If there's a problem, I just like to solve it and get it off my plate. So it was something to do with this tech issue and I was trying to figure it out. And then I got sucked into the rabbit hole of trying to figure something else out. And next thing you know, I was like so frustrated, so stressed out. And 2 hours had gone by. I hadn't done my workout yet. And so I was like, oh my God.
So annoyed.
Yeah. So I literally just turned off my computer. I looked at it and I just turned it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to the gym. I'm just walking away. I'm going to not skip my workout. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to come back with fresh eyes. And I felt so much better.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And
I know,
but it takes a lot to be able to do that. And the problem is it's the giving yourself permission, I find, to do that, to walk away, to chill, to take a breath, to say, I need time. Because we've been so taught as a society that, you know, we got to work harder, work faster, do more, you know.
Multitasking is seen as like a badge of honor. Like, oh, you can do like 10 things at once. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. And that's great. And
stress is like a badge of honor. Like, oh my
God,
I'm so busy. I'm like, shut up. Sorry, but this is how I really feel. I'm like, no, everyone is busy. Everyone is busy. It doesn't matter if you are a VP. It doesn't matter if you work at a drugstore. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. Every single person is busy. So if one more person talks about wearing their busyness as a badge of honor, like I just want to be like, that's not something that you should be proud of. That's called, you need to reevaluate what's going on in your life right now. That's what I think.
It's called, you need to prioritize and reprioritize and figure out how to manage your time a little bit better, maybe.
Or just
manage your routine, or look for help. Be open to asking for help.
And I also think it's about embracing the busyness. It's like when we talk about fear, right? When we always talk about, like, you know, embracing your fear or like conquering your fear. I don't think it's about conquering. I think it's about embracing, knowing it's a part of life. Busyness is a part of life. So either you befriend it and say, okay, you know what? I am busy and I feel overwhelmed, but this is what it is. And I'm taking you with me, as opposed to fighting it and being like, I'm so busy, and talking about like it's a negative thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's the same mm-hmm. with fear. Like, when you're afraid of something, everything in life is scary when it's new. It's the unknown. We're scared. But when you kind of befriend fear and say, you know what, I know I'm going to be scared taking this leap, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I'm going to take that emotion with me, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to do it anyways. So that's kind of how I feel about busyness. I think people use it as an excuse a lot of time. And I think that's where my annoyance comes with it. Because people are like, I'm so busy. I'm like, oh my God, everyone's busy. Stop.
Okay. Well, going back, we totally digress, but going back to why self-care is so important. So the first one is it helps reduce stress. It helps reduce your levels of stress. It helps also prevent people from giving up. So oftentimes taking on too many tasks at once increases your stress and anxiety level. And it also tires out your brain and your body because you're pushing yourself either too hard or beyond your limits. So when you take care of yourself, you're basically recharging your batteries so that you're not going to give up on those things. And oftentimes when we give up on things, it's things that we really want on a personal standpoint, just in order to fulfill other obligations that we have, like work or family, etc. And we always kind of give up on the things that we personally want. So it will help prevent you from doing that. It also helps to maintain focus and help you to refocus, because taking breaks from stressful or difficult tasks will allow you to perform better. And it basically what you want to do is you want to make sure that you take short breaks to avoid procrastination, prevent anxiety, and avoid raising your stress levels, right? So it all kind of goes back to like stress and time management and basically anxiety around like getting shit done, essentially. Self-care will also help you with your daily tasks. So actually completing them. And it also boosts, number one thing though, is that it boosts your personal happiness, because when you're less stressed or anxious, you're able to be happier, healthier, and you'll focus better. So and then you can share all of that with other people around you, right? So it's not just like, if you're constantly not taking care of yourself, you're almost going to be like in a negative all the time, right? Like you're almost like, because you're depleting yourself. And so you'll never have that energy or that care to be able to give to other people, because you're just feeling completely like ragged, like you're running ragged and you're feeling overwhelmed. So you have to take care of yourself. So according to the American Psychological Association, the top ways that people generally de-stress or take care of themselves is they either veg out in front of TV, like Netflix binges, anyone, or they take a nap. Those are the two. Those are like the top two ways that people generally take care of themselves, which if that's what works for you, cool. But there are other ways that will also help to bring energy to your life, that will help you feel like you have that mind, body, soul connection and that kind of thing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So top five is, number one, energize your body with movement. So many times when we are feeling stressed out or tired, like we always say, like, I feel so exhausted. But when you energize your body with food and also with the proper nutrition, like the proper fuel, that will help you in the big picture. That is a self-care practice that is so important, because it will actually help you have that energy to be able to do all of your tasks, to complete all of, you know, and it also helps you stay more focused. Like what you said, after when you got back from the gym, you felt like you were like, okay, now I'm ready to do this. You felt more focused. You felt better about what it was that you had to do and what you were about to do, as opposed to feeling like the whole time like stressed out. It's a release, right?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Like I found, I don't know. I always talk, and I've talked about this before on the podcast. I like to think about doing things when it comes to self-care. I like to think about doing things that increase your frequency. So like we either operate at like a low frequency, which is our negative vibes. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not saying that sometimes like, you know, napping and sleeping and things like that, they're great to rejuvenate the body. But when I'm thinking about doing things that are going to put me into a more positive space, I think about higher frequency. So I always think about movement as something that it helps to elevate your frequency. Because not only are you like doing something that's really positive for your body, but that movement creates energy, right? And that energy mm-hmm. then pushes forward into other things.
And so, it's the same thing with the food, that you're fueling your body with.
Completely.
It's going to create the right type of energy.
And no one ever says after workout, like, ugh, I wish I never did that workout. Actually, maybe I've said that like once when it was like something really weird of workouts that we used to do. But you know what I mean? Like, you usually are like, I don't want to go work out, or you're like, oh, I don't want to go to that class, that spin class, or I don't want to go out for a run or a power walk or whatever. But 99.9% of the times you come back feeling higher frequency, right? You come back feeling more positive. You come back feeling rejuvenated. You come back feeling clear minded. Mm-hmm. So it's like, for me, I always think energizing your body, especially through exercise, is number one for me.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. Because
I also think it has the most instant benefits. Like, you feel the transition instantly.
It's like instant gratification. And it's probably one of those self-care practices that, like, you don't need, like I was saying, you know, like sometimes you want to think like self-care is going to take so much time. You don't need that much time. You could get in a good workout. It doesn't even have to be a full workout. Even if it's just movement for 5-10 minutes, just to actually move your body and get your blood flowing will increase your endorphins, will make you feel less stressed, will help you lift your energy, boost your mood. So don't always feel like chained to the idea that you have to go to the gym and spend an hour or 2 hours in order to get to that place.
Exactly.
And then the second thing that you can do is create a relaxation routine for nighttime. Do you have a routine, Laura, that you do like at nighttime now?
Not really so much. I always try to make sure that I turn my phone to airplane mode though.
Mm-hmm. I do that too.
And this is something as well. We have our upcoming Women's Transformation Summit. And I interviewed Jennifer Papaconstantino. She's a holistic nutritionist. And she was talking a lot about reducing your toxic load. And one mm-hmm. of the thing was reducing the amount of electronics and, you know, cellular waves and all of that stuff that is interacting and infiltrating in interfering with our sleep. So I started doing turning my phone to airplane mode and just using my alarm from that, as opposed to having my phone on, but in alarm mode. So that's kind of one thing I really started doing. I would love to be able to do a bath every night, but again, for me, it's just not my priority in terms of utilizing my time. So I just try to kind of wind down though. I try not to be looking at my phone right before bed, but it's hard.
I know. Well, I always do airplane mode too. Or I do the do not disturb mode so that I can't, so that I won't get woken up by like any messages or anything like that too. And one of my rules is that I don't check my email. And this is a hard one actually for me, but I don't check my email, basically after like 9 PM. I try not to. Sometimes I do because I haven't, you know, if I've had a busy day with my daughter and I haven't really been online as much, I might have to do it at that point. But if I've had like a full work day and I'm kind of like, I try just to like really disconnect because I find that it's rejuvenating for me. But in terms of a nighttime routine, I don't really have one myself either, but I know that, you know, some of the things that are recommended if you're looking for one is turn off your TV an hour before bed. So if you are someone who likes to veg out and kind of Netflix and kind of just chill out, they say turn off your TV an hour before bed to help sort of you just like, you don't want to be falling asleep to your TV, right? Like, you don't want to have a tool in order to help you fall asleep or in order to just make you kind of like zombie out to fall asleep. So turn off your TV 1 hour before bed is recommended. Keep electronics outside of the bedroom. I keep mine, like I said, I put mine on airplane mode or on do not disturb because I use mine as my alarm as well, even though usually Maddie wakes me up now. they also say like read a good book, do some yin yoga, take a warm bath, light candles, use lavender oil, whatever works for you, whatever feels right for you. One of the other recommendations too for a nighttime routine is to meditate or set intentions for your next day. And this is one that I really like. I like the idea of setting intentions for the next day. So sitting there and saying, what is it? And I know that a lot of top business coaches, they talk a lot about, you know, in order to be successful the night before, you should actually write out all of the tasks that you want to tackle the next day. So you should actually write out. So if you're someone who sits there and thinks like, oh my gosh, I have to do this tomorrow and I have to do that, and you start doing your to-do list in your mind, you should write it out and put it in your priority sequence. So prioritize the things that are really big so that you do them first thing in the morning and then you complete the other tasks afterwards, but you should actually write it out the night before so that it's out of your mind, out of your head. And then the last thing is if you're someone who is laying in bed and you're finding it really tough to just close your eyes and fall asleep, you should try doing a body scan. It helps relax your body and your mind. So that's like literally something that you do in yoga where you basically just lay on your back in Shavasana. So if you don't know what Shavasana is, it's like basically on your back. Your feet are sort of out to the side, legs about hip distance apart, hands, arms beside you, palms facing up towards the ceiling. Close your eyes and then you basically just work your way from your toes all the way through your body. You can either do it where you're tensing and then relaxing your muscles, or you can just mindfully tell each of your muscles to relax. So starting at your toes and then working through the arches of your feet and then your ankles and everything else, because you're having that mind-body connection, it will help you actually create relaxation. And oftentimes people fall asleep before they even reach their head. So it's good. It's a great way to like turn off the brain and get it to refocus on something else. It's kind of like the yoga version of counting sheep in my mind. The third thing that you can do in order for self-care is to create a gratitude list, because it's super therapeutic. It reminds you to basically just be grateful and to really connect to the things that, you know, you should be paying attention to. And so, for example, like when I'm feeling really overwhelmed with work or something like that, I, instead of thinking like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out and stuff like that, I've really tried to change my mindset now to basically saying like, I am so grateful to have this business, to be successful, to, and it reframes like, and to be this busy, because, you know, it could be the opposite, and the opposite is a scary place. And so I like to reframe my mindset to think about it from that perspective, because I think that it takes away the stress and it makes it so that it's a positive. And then that for me is a very strong mental form of self-care.
Oh, completely. Mindset is everything. And the scripts that we have going on in our brains is contribute so much either to your happiness or to your stress levels. And self-care, of course, is obviously keeping yourself in the positive. And I think that, like, because that's something that we can all do every day. And I was talking about this actually with our challenge group. I've talked about this before, I think, on the podcast. But one thing I like to do too is having a power word. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like my word that I use when you start to get negative or when your brain starts to spin and stress, like, oh my gosh, I've got so much to do at work and I, you know, I can't, like, I've got to do this and this and this. And you know what I mean? You start to feel like anxious and overwhelmed. And that's when either you, next thing you know, you're like into the cookie jar and downing a bottle of wine, mm-hmm. avoiding, or you are just like having a panic attack. So one thing I like to do, because we tend to turn things into these big dramas, you know, it's also like, it's the way our bodies are kind of built, because we're built to protect ourselves. We're built to survive. And mm-hmm. when we start to see things as threats, then we start to think about how, like, all of the possibilities of the bad things that could happen, right? It's just kind of the way right. we're built, like, to avoid threats and to avoid negative things. So we have to think about them. But so it is a practice, but with power words, I find picking one word. So, you know, your word could be something like kittens. It could be love. It could be bubblegum, you know, like, but something to you that makes you feel a happy, but it's a word that, like, I like to pick something that means something. So my word is actually love, but that power word, it's something that I know that when I'm going into this spin cycle of crazy or feeling overwhelmed, I mm-hmm. just say that word out loud. So I just like love, you could say in your head too. But what it does is it will trigger you back to the present. It will trigger you from going into the spin cycle to literally breaking that thought pattern and just brings you to the present. And if that, then you can start to rationalize it and think, okay, you know what, actually give me, Laura, hold on a second. You're going into the dark zone. What do we need to do to make this workout? You know what I mean? So if I'm stressing about work, I kind of break down the things I need to do, or in my relationship mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Yeah. So it puts you back into like logical brain almost of like, okay, action, as opposed to like spin cycle of like just going into like theories that don't even exist potentially.
Well, and I know I always love that meme, maybe, whatever the hell it's called. It's after the Jay-Z thing. I got 99 problems and most of them, and probably one of them are real or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I got 99 problems and most of them are made up. Like, cause literally yeah. that's the way we are. We create all this drama in our brains. So anyways, just having that word that will snap you back into the present mode. Because if you're someone who's aware that you have this spinning mind or this negative spinning mind, if you pick that word, you know, it will just bring you back again into that rational place, and then you can rationalize it. If you cannot rationalize it, and I was just talking about this with our challenge group, because one of the things we talk about too at FitChicks a lot is dealing with, you know, the mindset and dealing with the negative body self-image that a lot of women have. So how do we start mm-hmm. to program that? So another thing, if the power word does not stop you in your tracks and kind of bring you back to a place where you can start to rationalize, you're still feeling anxious, you're still feeling overwhelmed. And I used to do this actually when I was in therapy for my eating disorder. The best thing to do is to, it takes about a minute, but to go through four things. So ask yourself, what do I smell? What do I see? What do I hear? And what can I feel? And that will take you about a minute to go through. So just say you're having this freak out in your walking to work. Well, what do I smell? I can smell the flowers outside. What do I hear? I can hear the buses driving by. What can I see? I can see people smiling faces. You know, what can I feel? Mm-hmm. I feel the wind on my face. Literally, if you go through that, those four questions to yourself, it will take you about a minute. You will be out of crazy.
You'll be back in the moment for sure, because it forces you into the moment.
It will completely bring you into the moment. And then that gives you also enough time to calm down. So that's my two tips in terms of keeping you in a self-care. That's a self-care practice actually I use all the time. And it's probably one of my most powerful ones, especially when you're starting to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or going down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. So then in terms of the last two that I had was spending quality time with quality people. And I think that's like one of those things where, especially in today's society, we spend so much time behind a screen. We don't spend enough time. I don't think we spend enough time anymore in person. I think that we just constantly, you know, we text people instead of calling. We email people. We creep at people's pictures on like social media instead of actually just hanging out with them and stuff like that. Like, it's just, I think that that needs to shift slightly. And I think as a self-care practice, when you surround yourself with people that you love and that you want to see, and it doesn't have to be every day, but if you have plans, it's something to look forward to see those people. And then when you do see them, you know, you feel so much better. Like, think about, and I know anyone listening here, you might be thinking, okay, I made plans with someone and then the day comes and you're like, oh, I really don't want to go for dinner tonight. Like, everyone has this, right? It doesn't matter who it is. It could be like your best friend. And you just have this feeling where you're like, oh, I just want to chill out tonight, watch Netflix and drink wine because that's all I want to do. But I'm telling you that when you actually show up and you go and you spend time with that person and you stay present with that person and you have those belly laughs and you know, you just connect, it is so refreshing and so recharging and so important. But it's important that it's people that are bringing you to that higher frequency that Laura was talking about earlier, where it's not something like where you're going to sit around and just gossip and talk negative and things like that. Think about someone who really just like helps you rise. And then the last one is to have a digital detox. And this one is tough. This one is a hard one. And I've tried doing this as a Sunday thing where basically you turn off everything and you practice the art of stillness and peace. Now, I don't have stillness and I don't have quiet because I have a baby, but I do try on Sundays to actually just disconnect from my phone. Like, I leave it at home if I'm going out or anything like that. I try not to be on my computer and like disconnect from social media, disconnect from everything and just completely be present.
Well, it's funny. I know quite a few people who are doing that now. Excuse me. And it seems that Sunday, because a lot of people still work Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of friends who are entrepreneurs and some of their chosen days to work, they prefer working on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But whatever day it is, I do know a lot of people who are picking one day and the majority is Sunday where literally they are turning off their phone and they have a box they put their phone in and then they mm-hmm. just leave it in there. And they're like, mm-hmm. you know what? Of course the first thing is like, well, what happens if something really bad happens? They're like, well, if I can't change, you know, I probably won't be able to change it anyways. So do I really need to be attached to the phone? Because every time it bings or, you know, a lot of our friends too, they work in high level jobs. They have a lot of responsibility. Their phone is constantly going off. So how do you separate your work life from your home life and really enjoying the moment when you're constantly hearing that bing and wondering, oh, should I deal with this now? I'm going to have to deal with it tomorrow. So turning off your phone, putting it in a box so you can't even see it, and just shutting down from the digital.
Yeah, completely. And just try to reconnect to things. I mean, I know that a lot of times people will also spend like, they use it as like a full day of like Sabbath, like a rest and rejuvenation day, or they use it almost like as a silent retreat day, like literally spending a day in silence. Like that's something that takes practice, and it's something that probably would be difficult, but at the same time, so refreshing. I have a friend of mine who she actually does silent retreats like quite regularly, like where she actually goes away to silent retreats on a regular basis just to rejuvenate, like for no reason other than just I need to like, you know, recharge my batteries a little bit, and this is how I do it. And she finds it so refreshing and so amazing. So I know for me, like I said, I do it on Sundays, and I do know too with smartphones, like if you are someone who's like, yeah, but like for me, I have like this weird thing that like, I feel like if I don't have my phone or if I can't hear it, like what if something happens to like my parents or something, I have like this weird fear, right? That just comes into play about like health things and issues. And I know that on smartphones though, you actually can have this so that you can set it so that you have a do not disturb, but you can actually set it up on smartphones where unless it is this person calling, where that person's, if they call a bunch of times, that it's like, if it's a multiple calls from the same number, it will actually ring through versus just being completely silenced. So look into your settings and see how you can set it up. If you are looking to have a digital detox, it's a really great way to just be like, okay, I'm going to set it up so only if my mom calls and she calls two times in a row that it'll ring. So definitely look into what those options would be. And then the last thing, and this is a bonus because we had the five, but then I had a bonus one. And I think this one's really important, and it's for self-care. I want you to feel like it's okay to say no. And it's also okay to ask for help. I think that women as a society, I think that we spend a lot of time just being like, yes, 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 yes. I will take care of the kids after work. You know, I'll take them to gymnastics, and then yes, I will be at the dinner tonight after gymnastics. I will come and meet for, you know, Shirley's celebration dinner. And then yes, I'll be there first thing in the morning for the meeting. And yes, I'll pick up, you know, whatever. Like it's always yes, yes, yes. And it's okay to say no sometimes. And same thing on weekends. If you need that Sunday silent day, it's okay to be like, hey guys, I'm not going to make it to brunch because I just need this day to just be like a silent day of like just me recharging, regrouping. And I find too, we spend a lot of time not only having to say yes, but also apologizing for saying no. And you don't have to apologize to say no. You can just say no. And you don't have to explain it. You don't have to come up with reasons. You can just be like, no, I'm not going to make it there. Sorry. You don't even have to say sorry. See, that's apologizing. So like me.
I know. Well, I mean, I think, of course, it's like if you make plans with people and you're canceling all the time or canceling the last minute.
Oh, that's not what I mean.
But
I mean more just saying no in advance. Like if you just know that you're just kind of like your plate's pretty full, it's okay to sort of say no. You don't have to feel like you need to be at every single event. You don't have to feel like you have to be. If you haven't seen someone in a long time and they invite you to something, maybe, of course, you want to be a part of it because maybe that's, you know, it's very limited time that you guys have together. I totally get that. But if it's just like, you know, every Sunday you and your friends have brunch, for example, it's okay to not go sometimes. Well, it's okay to say no.
Like my stepmom was a CEO of a company, and it was a very male dominated company. And back when, you know, not many female CEOs, and she always said to me, like, just say no and do not explain yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? Because as women too, our instant reaction is no, I can't because X, Y, Z. And we try to validate the reason why, but it's such an awkward feeling when you just say no. Someone's like,
no,
you know, are you going to come for dinner? No. And you don't, like say,
everybody listening, we want you just to try that. Just do it. For 1 week, just try not to feel like you have to explain yourself or you have to apologize. Just try saying no.
Yeah. If you just say, actually, I can't make it. And not saying because I've got the kids that weekend or because I've got to finish this project for work. If you say, you know, I'm not going to be able to make that. And without explaining, or it's the weirdest feeling, but she, you know, it was interesting. She always said to me, she's like, you know, always apologize if you do something wrong, own it, apologize, move on. And she's like, you know, and say no without an explanation. You don't ever need to explain yourself if you say no to something.
Yeah.
She's a very strong woman, which I was like, whoa. Like, I feel very weird saying this, and I still do, but I love that approach because, again, as women, we constantly feel like we're so concerned about everybody else's feelings that we don't want someone to feel like we're rejecting them by saying no. We want to give them something that's going to make them feel better. But at times, we're constantly giving, 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 and we don't need to be. We don't need to
be. Exactly. Exactly. So if, you know, if you're listening today and you feel like you are in that place where you're just like, okay, I can't remember the last time I actually took time to myself to do anything that I personally want or enjoy or, you know, spend time like, or even if you're like, you know, you think that you're just like, you want a career change or you want to go back to school or you want to do something big. It doesn't have to just be small. Maybe you want to do something really big. If that's the case, you need to give yourself permission and give yourself the time and energy to be able to do those things too, because you are a priority just like everybody else in your life and just like every other task in your life is. So make sure that you set that priority and you set that time in place. So that wraps up our self-care practices for today. So as always, if you want any other information about us, check us out at fitchicksacademy.com. And on there, we also have our upcoming certifications. We have our fitness and nutrition expert certification. So if you are looking to be like, I need to learn more about health and fitness. I want to help other people, but I also want to help myself for self-care. I also want to continue to learn and grow. Check it out. It's on fitchicksacademy.com. We also have our holistic natural weight loss coach expert program. So two different certifications, both all about health and wellness, learning and helping you become an expert in those fields. Check them out. And of course, if you love our podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Email us info@fitchicks.ca with any comments, suggestions, or any topics you'd like us to cover. And we'd love it if you can also leave us comments below this podcast or subscribe or share, because sharing is caring and we appreciate it so much.
Yeah. No.
All right.
No. I was like, no.
Well, thanks again, everyone.
I don't want to share.
yes, share. But thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.